I return to the book of Lamentations in chapter 1. Lamentations chapter 1. I'm going to read a portion. Lamentations chapter 1 from the beginning. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces. How is she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion, all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harts that find no pasture. And they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy, and none did help her. The adversaries saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts, and she remembereth not her last end. Therefore, she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. The adversary hath spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things, for she hath seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. Amen. It occurred to me just before coming up to speak that you may want to ask questions at the end. There's no need to ask questions, but if anyone has a particular question that they want to ask, not that I'm an expert on archery, but one or two of us may have some help to offer on it, not a particularly technical question, but I was thinking particularly any spiritual question, more of a spiritual nature rather than of a technical nature perhaps, but then I think that might be helpful if anyone has something on their mind that they would otherwise lose. So just a thought, not that that's something I would normally do, but I just feel that the subject I might not speak on for too long, and if you have anything engaging a sermon, but just anything on your mind that you want to share or ask. Wrong page. God's fire in men's bones. That's why I thought you might have a question. Yeah. God's fire in men's bones. From verse 13, from above hath he sent fire into my bones. It's a great text, isn't it? I'm sure you could hear great things spoken on this text. But Jeremiah is in a dramatic situation. He's been preaching many years in and around Jerusalem, and the people ignored him. They got taken into captivity. Jerusalem's been completely burnt and destroyed by the Babylonians. Jeremiah and some others remained in Jerusalem. They had the choice to where to go. They remained in Judah anyway, and then eventually he was taken by some of the other Israelites to Egypt. And somewhere in that time, Lamentations, we believe, was composed. What has gone wrong was the question. Jerusalem had been destroyed because of sin and rebellion and wickedness. And now this then, Lamentations, is, if you might like to say, the mature Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah, the great prophet, at his final exclamation of things. And though it's a lamentation, it's the need of the hour. This is the message of a person brought very low, and a nation brought very low, and a church and a people of God in a very low, very, very low state. So it's a book of examination, and it's not the end. Jeremiah, like all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, end up in glory, in the glory of God. But in the process of time and in the course of working these things out, this great event in his life happened. A time of deep lamentation. It's an important time. It's a growing time. And it's a time, though it's a desolation, it's not the end. So maybe we are in such a time. The world is obviously in absolute disastrous conditions, but the church is not particularly shining greatly. It must, maybe in some places it does, maybe we feel it does in our little lights here and there as well. But what is needed is what we have here in this verse 13. From above hath he sent fire into my bones. We need the fire of God in people's bones. Now, I can't tell you how to do that, and that's why I say you might have questions at the end. I'm only really putting out a few things from the Bible, of course, but I haven't done a complete exposition of the whole subject. I think it's something that's, if it was easy to answer, how do we get fire into men's bones? Here it comes as a judgment, of course, but there's more to it than that. We'll see. Then if it was easy, it will be easy. But it's a challenge to us. Fire, God's fire in men's bones. The place has been literally burnt with fire. The house of God, the king's house, burnt, destroyed. The fire, it's actually here Jerusalem speaking. In fact, it's not Jeremiah, but he's speaking as Jerusalem personified. Now, it's as if then the very bones have got fire in them. Now, I'm not a doctor, but those of you, and there may be somebody here who have trouble with your bones, you know the pain that continues, that you can have intense bone pains, unending intense pain. Jerusalem, this is has come upon it for its sins here. The previous verse speaks of great sorrow that has come upon Jerusalem, and a deepest sorrow, so deep that you think the only greater sorrow was that of the Lord Jesus bearing our sins. And indeed, the text has often been used to preach Christ. Is it nothing to you, the sorrows of our Savior, carrying our sorrows, not for his sin. He had no sin, but for us, his people. Now, the sorrow is described then as this fire in the bones. It prevaileth against them. Now, first, then, we need an experience of God's fire in our bones. And I put it firstly, we need the converting fire. The bones of man were originally good, good bones. When Adam saw his wife that was created from his side, this is now bone of my bones, he said, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Bones signifying then the very closeness, the innermost being, the closeness of the one to the other, bone of my bones. And the soul and the flesh is one man, the Athanasian Creed says. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. A man became a living soul. So you've got the body and you've got the breath that God breathed into them, and the soul is formed. You have a human person there with and you feel it in your bones. You feel as much in your bones as you do in your mind. And it joins together there. What you feel in your bones, you feel in your heart. The bone, of course, the bones are not just, you think of them as just sticks in the body, but they're actually full of blood vessels, closely compacted blood vessels. And the bone marrow is in there. So the bone is very real. It's very alive. And bones are living. They should be living things. Yet since the fall, the whole man is dead in sin. It's like, it's as if with Ezekiel, we can say that the bones are dead. Can these bones live? Can there be fire from God in the bones of a human being from God, the fire of God in the bones? Ezekiel replies to the question, "O Lord God, thou knowest." That's a lovely text, isn't it? "O Lord God, thou knowest." If we said that sometimes in our woes, in our troubles, in our thoughts, the Lord knows. He can put fire and life into the bones of a dead sinner. So, fire then is necessary to come from God, life from God into the bones of a soul. And that's why, included in our text here, it says, "From above hath he sent fire into my bones." God has sent the fire into the bones of Jerusalem and Jeremiah. God does this great work. And the Bible teaches, John the Baptist says, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one cometh, one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." He baptizes with fire. Now, I must say, I've not really heard much of an explanation on what people think that this fire means, but you don't hear much of it in charismatic circles. They emphasize the Holy Ghost, so I don't know about fire, but there should be fire. This is what is implied here. When the Holy Spirit comes, he baptizes with spirit and fire. So there's something dramatic happens from God. If you're, I know some people, their conversion is gradual. As I say, the first need then is this converting fire. And a person has a burning in them, as it were, a burning of sin. There's, I think some are aware acutely before they're converted of sin. Other people, it's all their troubles. Everything is out of joint, out of place. Psalm 32 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." So the blessedness of forgiveness. Then he says, when I kept silence, I know there's different applications of the Psalms and who's speaking when and what time is not always easy to ascertain. But I think in this case, he says, he's referring to the forgiveness of his sins. Then he says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. There was a, and now we might apply this in various ways, I know, but we say here that when we keep silent, when we don't confess our sins to God, as it were, yet when the Lord is starting to awake us, there is a burning and the bones are waxing old. It's like Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress with this big burden on his back. And it's overwhelming and it's burning. There's a fire from God. And this is only, as it were, quenched by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross is a full satisfaction for sin. No one can, how people can quench their conscience, a guilty conscience before God. There is a fire within, as the Spirit, particularly as the Spirit is pulling them, drawing them even, drawing them to Christ, to look unto him. And of course, in conversion itself, there is great light, a great wonder, what it is to have lived through life far from God, and then to know sins forgiven, to know that we've come humbly to trust in the blood of Christ, and that has washed away our sins. There, a fire has come from God. A light has come into the bones. The bones have got blood in them and movement in them again. And there's life. There's real life in a person when they've come to trust in Jesus Christ. The experience before here in verse 4 of that Psalm 32, "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." A sinner forgiven is like a person on fire with a wonder, the wonder of God. How could I have been guilty and now free? How could my sins have been taken away and counted on Jesus Christ? And I just say, how often have our hearts and bones and minds been hot, as it were, with this fire, and yet how seldom do people cry out to God who made the bones, "Revive me, O Lord, save me, be merciful to me." I mean, this is why we don't give up, isn't it? Our great cause for the world is that the gospel of Jesus Christ does save. We know it ourselves. We know we're not what we should be, but we know what we're not what we were. And we know that the Lord has been very gracious to us in spite of whatever it continues in us, by the way, this fire. And this is what we'll come to now. But we've got this. If you have a sense of that fire, turn, Lord Jesus Christ, be merciful to you. And you pray for him to be merciful to you and to receive you and to forgive you. And that fire will be quenched. Here, though, for Jeremiah, he's experienced it further on here. He's been through many years of preaching, and now he can speak on behalf of Jerusalem that fire has come from God into their bones. It feels like a punishment. It feels like an affliction. It's a different sort of fire, a different sort of dealing than that initial dealing that a sinner has when he comes to Christ. There's an ongoing fire in the Christian life. I put it to you, there must be an ongoing fire in the Christian life. We are engaging in a war, and we'll feel it intensely at times, sometimes less intense. And the Lord provides fire by chastisements and trials to give ongoing humility and repentance and faith. So we depend upon him so much. Do we not recognize our misery? You see, when the fire is burning, as it were, and I know, I don't know all of you, but I know some of us have been through particular difficulties, and it's perplexing, and there's no easy answer. Is it someone else's fault? What is it? And it's like a fire burning. You think, why is this? Why is this fire in my bones? And God is still breaking us and humbling us before him. It's a great work of God. It's a very important work of God. It was important that Jeremiah felt this, even at this time, even in such a low state. You'd expect after the fall of Jerusalem, you see. Jeremiah could have very easily have been very stuck up and proud and said, I told you, I've been preaching to you that if you continue in sin, your city, our city, is going to be destroyed. And look what's happened to you. I told you so. Jeremiah's not like that. Jeremiah's rather more like Archbishop Cranmer, who in the 16th century, and I quote this all the time, you've heard it before or not, that when the Church of England was destroyed by Queen Mary coming and the persecution came of the Protestant martyrs, did they blame it on the Pope? Did they blame it on Mary? Cranmer, interestingly enough, in his book about unprovable truths of the Roman, unprovable verities or something of the Roman Church, he says it was us. God brought it on us. He said we were proud. We were talkers, but not walkers. I've got the quotation if anyone wants it later on of Cranmer. It was amazing. It was worth, for Cranmer's own soul, it was worth the Reformation falling to humble him. He really considered his ways, just like Lamentations. It's a very great read. You think, I need this sort of work. I don't mind what the Lord does. I'm not going to complain about what the Lord does with my life. I'm not going to complain about what he takes away. If it'll bring me to this condition, as Jeremiah in his lamenting, his prayers are better now in Lamentations than they were before. He's more dependent upon Christ than he ever was. This is what we need. So let us not resent God's burning fire of trials in us. A very bold passage in Mark chapter 9, and one of you may be able to explain, I don't know what the commentators have quite come to on this. 9:49, everyone shall be salted with fire. it sounds pretty severe, but it sounds like the way God will work, he will, you all go through great tribulation. That is the way into the kingdom of heaven. Moses speaks of a chastening fire in the song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32. He speaks of how the people of God forsook God. They lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. What words? Did they lightly esteem Jesus Christ? That's what it says, the rock of his salvation. They lightly esteemed him. I wonder what takes over our lives. So many concerns, so many worries and thoughts, and so much vanity soon takes us up that we lightly esteem. What a rock. What a great salvation we have, don't we? What a wonderful Savior. We've been reading the death of Christ, and you see, we're looking this morning at the burial, how the disciples had fled. Joseph of Arimathea, secret disciple of one of the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the synagogue that didn't agree to the death of Christ, but still a secret believer. But there he is. When Nicodemus suddenly comes, taking care of the dead body of our Lord Jesus. 100 pounds weight of myrrh and aloes. Think of the woman that wiped his feet with her tears. The one that poured the bottle of expensive ointment. And a thought came to me some time ago about that. Those tears were as valuable as that ointment, weren't they? They were just as precious. You may say, what can I do for the Lord? I've got very little to give. A few tears on Jesus' feet is worth 1,000 pounds of ointment. The 2 pennies in the box that the widow put in. Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ, or do we lightly esteem him like these people did? The Lord was then provoked to provoke them. And in verse 22, it says, a fire is kindled in mine anger, Deuteronomy 32 there. And that's a wonderful song. You get these passages in the Old Testament. They give accounts of the history. How good has the Lord been to them? And then they don't appreciate it. They go off and follow idols. And now it's got to the state that the glorious city of Jerusalem, the place that the whole world should have looked to for the worship of God, has been completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. And there is Jeremiah in his sorrows. He's saying, it's like God is burning my bones. Everything's gone. Everything's gone. Because Jeremiah had prophesied the 70 years. He knew this time. He could say, give me 70 years in Babylon rather than 1,000 years in a decadent, ungodly Jerusalem. 70 years in Babylon will do us more good. Maybe it's what we need to, maybe it's what we've got already today in our land. A chastening fire, a fiery trial. Thinking not strange, Peter says, the fiery trial. But rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. So there's this chastening fire, a fiery trial, the fire of conversion. Don't forget that. It was a massive work. It was an enormous work. It was a work of God. It was a fire from heaven came down. You were born again, not of the will of man, not of the flesh, but the will of God. The power of God worked towards you if you've become a Christian. That's mighty. Nothing good in you, nothing good in me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then because we don't keep ourselves, chastening fire, fiery trials. Oh, be sure that we're not blaming the rest. We're humbling ourselves. Others are to blame sometimes, but we're humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then, almost lastly, in a sense, the fire of the Lord. The believer is to be on fire on fire for the glory of God. Now, you could probably find me some quotations on this, but I give you one from Jeremiah 20. Of course, I've got one other one as well. But Jeremiah 20 and verse 7. O Lord, and I'm just going to read three verses. Thou hast deceived me. Jeremiah going through one of those times, it appeared that he'd been sent to do this work, but it was all going backwards. He wasn't making progress. They were against him. Oh Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Jeremiah, it is really perplexing time. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm going to stop preaching. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. It was for him wearisome to preach, but when he stopped, it was more wearisome. And the word was like a fire in his bones. The word of God should always continue as a fire, a burning fire in our hearts. And maybe some of us, we try to witness to particular members of our family, and they're very hard, and we have to forbear to some extent. We can't keep going on, and well, maybe we should. Maybe there's a time when we should keep going on, but sometimes we feel we have to be wise. We can't be constantly haranguing people. But the word, you come away from those times, and the word is like a fire in us. And you, if you had that when you've been quiet, when you should have spoken, and it was like, the fire, I must go, I must speak. Now, the word of God should be a fire in the ministers of God, but there's also a fire in all the people of God. In Luke chapter 24, the well-known passage, I'm not really going to expound it or very much now, but just when they were on the road to Emmaus, and the two disciples, after they knew it was Christ, in verse 32, they said one to another, and they're remembering what he was saying to them earlier, said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Didn't our heart burn within us? Now, this may be a word of encouragement for us. The more we're in the word of God, the more we study the word of God, the more we go and hear preaching, the more we try to pray. And I do say, start with the Lord's Prayer. It's very simple. But if you understand the little book on it by Martin Luther, brilliant. Brings out the emphasis really, really well. There's lots of other things on the Lord's Prayer, I'm sure, but for some really helpful things. So it's more than words. And it's more, close to Christ, his word. Let's pray. We pray that his word will burn within us, that we'll get the riches of Christ. And so that's the other fire then. Well, I just put it to you in conclusion. Have we got fire in our bones? Have we got the fire of conversion, the fire of trials and chastisement, that we don't despair in such things, but that we draw nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ? And have we got the fire, as it were, of the gospel, of that, still the appreciation of the wonder of Christ, the wonder, isn't it? You think we're sitting here in a room, some online, how short a time we've got, how short lives. Most of us will be forgotten when we die. I think most of us would be glad to be forgotten in many respects. And the things of Christ will abide forever and ever. We'll be brought into wonderful glory. You know, spend and be spent. Give your life the best you can in whatever small way it is in the service of Jesus Christ. You will not be disappointed. I tell you, if you're a young man and whatever, if this was your call to be committed to the word of God, I'd say you're not going to sell it, you're going to give it away, but your whole life into the ministry of the word of God. As best you can, you may feel we don't make much progress. You feel it's in vain a lot of the time. But it's not always in vain. As I'm sure Jeremiah's words are never in vain, and there's lots more words in Jeremiah, but that the word of God could come down from heaven and in one way or another burn in your bones and your heart. And let's pray that there be a reviving fire, as it were. There's one man in the Welsh revival, David Morgan, the name's come back to me. David Morgan was his name. He said one day he was just David Morgan. And then another day, he was a lion. He was a lion, and his preaching was astonishing, and it had great effect, only for a certain amount of time. And then he woke up another day, and he was just David Morgan again. At that time, for the glory of God, let us pray for God's work. Let us not be put off by the pain of the burning of God's fire in our bones. I tell you, it's God doing a good work in you. He needs to do the burning work, the fire, the work of fire. And may we come out of it praising the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, our Father in heaven, if we don't feel worthy enough to have thy fire in our bones, we don't feel worthy enough, Lord, to have thy spirit in our souls. But thou hast promised these things. The poor old disciples all running away and fleeing. And then thou didst baptize them with the spirit and with fire. And Lord, they were just normal men. We pray, Lord, come down, be merciful to thy church in these days. Revive thy work, O Lord. In the midst of the years, make known, in thy wrath, remember mercy. Forgive us, Lord, and grant that we may come close to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, to have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling with us and in us. What more fire could we need? In Jesus' name, amen.